Anyway, now the great Bebe Baskin is officially retiring, and this evening she will celebrate a wonderful career spanning over three decades. Bebe is in our Cork studio this afternoon. Hello, Bebe, how are you?
I'm very well indeed, Brenda, and it's lovely to be here. And I was just sitting here in a kind of a contemplative mood, which maybe suits when you're on the cusp of retirement. And I thought how very fitting it is that my last interview, and this is my last interview, is with RTE, because in a sense, that's really where it all began. So I'm delighted with this opportunity, but it's my last one.
Well, I don't know about you. When you say it's your last interview, I feel quite emotional just already. How are you feeling? And that's just me. So it's you, well, really.
Well, the last job that I had was something that was very special to me at the start of this year in January. And as a way of pivoting, as they call it, in the workplace, I started a private Facebook group by subscription, and we called it Bebe's Happy Place.
Yeah.
And through that, I got we did lots of exercises in mindfulness and meditations every week and gratitude exercises and all that stuff. But there was also a great sense of a little community, and I felt I got to know the people rather well, and they me. And, you know, I miss that. I do miss that. But on the other hand, I'm looking forward to doing nothing, to having no commitments, no obligations. I'm very excited about that, I must say.
And I suppose, why this time? Why now, Bebe? What has made your decision so final?
Well, I'm a girl of a certain age, and I'm not bound by that, as a lot of people are. Of course, if you're a staffer in RTE, you would be bound to, you'd have to retire at a certain age, for example, and other companies too. But I turned 69 in May, and I think there's something about going into that last year of a decade before you hit the big roundy one, you know.
As Ronan Collins would say, the roundy birthday.
Is that what he calls it? Maybe that's right. That's probably who I landed from, you know. And I thought to myself, oh my God, I'm going to be 70 soon. So I'm going to have to get out there and just have a really good time and fly into the 70s and enjoy them. And I thought the way to do that, the road into it, would be to retire. So that was a governing thing. And other than that, it was mostly a feeling that the time was right, and that I love the idea of waking up in the morning and saying to yourself, you know, I have sweet FA to do today, and I love that.
But a lot of people have a fear of doing nothing, of having the day spread out ahead and not knowing where to go, what to do. Will anybody call? Are they lonely?
Oh, no.
I mean, what do you look at when you look at a blank space of the days ahead? Not that they will be blank, I know that, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, there'll be a freedom of choice. That's, I suppose, maybe a good way to describe it. Yeah, there are hints already, because during lockdown, from the very start, almost, I started to do a lot more South Indian cooking, which is very different to North Indian stuff. And I've really advanced in that. And I've come up with some good dishes, and I get a lovely reaction on Facebook to them. Old ones that I learned in my own hotel in India. I used to creep in there during the rainy season when the chefs weren't busy and get them to demonstrate dishes for me. And then I write down the recipe. So I've enjoyed doing that very much, Brenda. Mm. But I'm now going in another direction. I'm taking part in a workshop on Spanish food that started already, and I've also started I don't know how to say this, that it won't sound like I should be arrested, but I've bought a gun, and I don't have a license. It's a smoking gun for food. No. I hope I caught you out there.
You did.
Yeah, the whole business is called, by the very posh highfalutin term, of molecular gastronomy.
And I'm
fascinated by it. And just in case some of the listeners are not familiar.
In two sentences.
I probably will never get beyond two sentences on that score. It's taking certain principles of physics and chemistry and applying them to food through heat and through movement, and in doing that you change the texture of the food, and you enhance the flavour enormously. And one aspect of that is to smoke stuff. You've probably seen it done. I've got applewood chips, and then you put, say it's a cheese you want to smoke, or a chicken, or butter, or whatever. You put this cloche over it and let off the gun a bit. I might blow myself up, but I hope not.
And I'm thinking, when did you start in RTE here, because I mean there's so much affection for you. I can already see coming in on the text there. When did you start, and what did you start doing?
I don't quite know the year. I'm very bad at getting the dates right in times past. Mm. But I started with, it says in the papers, believe it or not, on radio. And I remember to this day, though, this thing is crystal clear. I remember how I approached getting that little gig, which is a very significant one, too. Mm. It was pre-email days. It must have been mid-80s, I'm going to take a guess. And I wrote a letter in longhand using very classic blank ink, very good stationery, of course, to try to make an impression. And the words are still with me. What a way now, if the kids of today were applying for a job, my God, they would be so sophisticated in comparison to me. I wrote, I wonder if you would have a little job for a female voice, because I think my voice is not the worst part of me. And I got the bloody job.
And of course you went on to do so much here in RTE and, you know, obviously all over the world and everything. But I remember kind of particularly around the early 90s, and you still are, but you were a fine looking woman.
Ah, come on.
You were. And the farmers and the amount of men who were deeply in love with you. You must have got letters and flowers and all of those kind of things, Bibi.
Well, you know, in those days, again, really pretty much pre... pre-texting and all of that. Mm. So you got handwritten letters, and they came especially from the farmers. I seem to have been a big hit, you know, a country girl at heart, maybe sort of thing. But as you may or may not know, because nobody's writing anything anymore by hand, if the letter was in green ink, call the men and the women in white coats. I don't know psychologically how that happens, but definitely green ink was the one to watch out for.
And you worked here, and you must have done amazing interviews. And I know you're about moving forward and looking forward. But is there a moment when you remember being in studio and you were interviewing somebody and you went, you know, I'm doing something here that I love to do?
Not specifically. Nothing stands out, because I've interviewed so many people, even though it was over a short period of time. I think my total time in RT was 8 years. Yeah. And, you know, the other significant thing about that is that it was actually about 25, 30 years ago. So I've lived a life since then. Yeah. But I always enjoyed, I thought it was a great privilege to be able to meet so many different people and to interview them. And I was always happy in that job. And I should say a big gurumahagat to RTE for having me and giving me that opportunity. I do value it, but I just wanted to sample something else in life.
And you went off then to India.
I did, yeah.
And You were on your own, am I right, Bibi?
Yeah, that's right.
And what age were you around then? Not that I'm hanging up on age or years or anything.
Well, I think it's significant, actually. Mm. I wouldn't mind at all. I had just turned 50.
Right.
And the reason I think that's significant is that I've met so many people here in Ireland, back home again, and men especially, who have just turned 50. And my God, they think the story is over. Mm. So that's when I quote my age. That I was 50 when I went off to a developing country on my own as a woman and changed continents and countries and careers.
It was very brave on many levels.
No, not really.
Not really?
No.
And what was it that fascinated you so much about India, that you spent so much of your time there? I know, was it the culture? Was it the hotel? I know you were very interested in the yoga there. What was it exactly?
It was a whole amalgam of things. And for me, the part of India I went to down south, the state of Kerala, somebody writing on Twitter just very recently said that sometimes the people they work with who are from Kerala, many of them in the caring professions here, that really it's a bit like the old Ireland. And I found that when I went there, it was different color, skin, way of doing things. And my God, setting up a business, that's not an easy number anywhere in the world. But I loved the people. I loved their gentleness. I loved that they were so accepting of me. I was interested in trying some new things. I think that was the primary thing. And that new thing was to do a startup, create a business. And it turned out pretty good, because one occasion, I always remember this, in the early days, we were written up in the Sunday Times of London as one of the 10 best stays in India. Of course, well, we weren't that good at all.
I'd say you were fantastic. No. I'm just trying to get my head around this or get a handle on this. When you say you're retiring,
yeah,
is this the final time we'll hear you speak? Because, I mean, your voice is just that beautiful honey-toned Donegal. I could fall into it. Or, you know, your podcast. Is that it in terms of BB, or will we be talking about Spanish food in 6 months' time on the radio?
You know, I really don't know, because remember, I'm the girl who went on a 3-week holiday once and stayed for 15 years, you know? Yeah. So clearly I'm no good at planning. So in 6 months' time, I haven't a clue. But I tell you, I do fancy taking a break from everything over this summer. Not all today. I'm finishing today with paid employment, you could call it, I suppose, and also with interviews and Zooms and all of that. And I just fancy the freedom, as we called it earlier, of seeing what comes into your life when you clear out other stuff. Because I do believe things do come in. So that is really the freedom and the escape, and it'll be lovely, I think. But also there's something I have to do for my own health. I just love reading and learning and studying, and that involves lying on a sofa in your PJs, you know. I need to get out and get more movement going. You're never going to find me doing handstands, but I do need to just do more, have a greater interest in physical health. There's nothing wrong with me, by the way. I'm up like a lamplighter every morning, not a problem. But I have to do that, and I think summertime will be a very good time to get into that routine. That's my immediate aim.
You sound very excited about all of this, BB.
Apart from the exercise.
Yeah. Actually, you and me both, we have a lot in common there.
Really?
I have to force myself to go out and do it. Obviously, we feel better after it.
Well, can I tell you this morning?
Yeah.
Sorry, Brenda. This morning, I started a list of things that I'm going to do.
Yes.
Because, you know, this is retirement day, after today. And I read it out to my best friend who dropped me off here to the studio today. So I had to go to Polish food shops and get to know the vegetables. I had the Spanish workshop, go to health food shops, and all this thing all around cooking. And she said, my God, you need to get out to the garden and lob a few plants for the exercise. I hadn't even thought of it.
And Cork, is Cork now kind of home? Will you be taking off to maybe Brazil or something?
Oh, no.
And settling there?
Oh, no. That would be a terrible penance altogether.
I'm not Brazilians, moving. I should say.
So awful. No, I mean, really, moving houses, anybody who's done it recently or ever will tell you it's exhausting. And I love where I live, and the people of Cork have made me really so very welcome. And in particular, a good friend who just goes out of his way to create projects in the past. Michael Mulcahy is his name. But there are many people in Cork, and I love the area I live in. It's in the countryside. It's only a couple of kilometres from two villages and about 20 minutes from the city. I consider I have it all. It's certainly enough for me.
BB, I can't let you go without trying to get a sense of your 69 years living on the planet and travelling, and I suppose being able to reset to have a balance in your life. You know, if you thought about it, if you were to say, right, you know, this is it, these are the final words in terms of your interview, and for people listening, what would you want them to know about you, about how to live their lives, and all the things that have made you the full-rounded person you are?
That's far too complimentary, Brenda.
I've only started.
Oh, no. I would say that all the practices that I learned, some of them I learned about India before I actually went to India. People automatically make the mistake that I got into the wellness of India called Ayurveda only when I went there. Not so. I've been studying that for decades. And I would say that getting into a more thoughtful way of living, which means that you're being more aware. I've almost hesitating to use the word mindful way of living, because that word is bandied about so much now that it's, I think it's about to become a cliche and worn out. But I think if you can create better awareness of your thoughts, your actions, and how you deal with other people, and I got a lot of knowledge from that. From the Indian wellness system that I mentioned, Ayurveda. It's very good in psychology. And the final thing that I find so useful, and it was particularly useful during COVID, because I actually, I know this is an awful thing to say, but I enjoyed lockdown, you know? And the reason for that is that, or the main reason, is that I just believe in this thing they call acceptance. You know, so many people want to fight this and fight that and never give in and fight to the bitter end. What dreadful, aggressive language is that? So I think acceptance of things makes for an easy peasy calm life. And I think our Western society, you know, the default setting on our normal Western society pre-COVID and still is go, go, go and rush, rush, rush. And I don't have enough time in the day. Well, I firmly believe in doing nothing for a certain amount of the day. And I've always, pre-COVID, I would put that into my diary. This is doing nothing time. And it leaves you very calm. That would be my advice.
I hope you're going out for a wonderful celebration.
I am.
With your friends.
Yes.
In fabulous Cork.
Yes.
We can't wish you more happiness in your retirement. I hope we hear you talking about Spanish food or molecular.
I'm full of notions.
Yeah, we do. And
thank you.
We wish you the very best of happiness and health, Bibi, and into the future. I love the excitement you have. And thank you so much for sharing your last interview with us here on the Ray D'Arcy Show.
Well, it's absolutely my pleasure. I'm getting goosebumps now, so I'll go before the old voice goes. Thank you, Brenda. It's been lovely to do this, and I'm deeply appreciative. Thank
an
you.
Honour. An honour. Thank you, Bibi.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.